near Banbridge Town.
Attention Dark Matter Radio listeners, did you know that when you're on the road with limited data or Wi-Fi, you can still listen to every minute of the Dark Matter Radio Network by calling 605-562-4444. No smartphone, app or internet is needed, saves your data plan and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Dial 605-562-4444 to listen to the Dark Matter Radio Network on any phone, anytime. Anywhere.
Hi, this is Solaris Blue Raven with Hyperspace on the Dark Matter Radio Network. Please tune in on Tuesdays for an intriguing show pertaining to covert technology, UFOs, paranormal, mysticism, and spirituality.
You're listening to the Dark Matter Radio Network.
The high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, wherever you are in this great world of ours, all the time zones covered like a great big warm blanket by midnight in the desert. That's the name of this program. I'm Art Bell. It is my pleasure to be here with you tonight, which is going to be a very weird and wild night in so many ways. Yeah, we're going to have open lines tonight. So I've got three rules instead of my usual two. Rule one, no bad language. Rule two, only one call per show. And rule three, for tonight, only two drinks. Two drink max if you're going to call in. All right? We'll get to the open lines part of it here in a few minutes. There were some strange occurrences of the day. And this tops the list for me. True or false? I'm going to read you the story. It's all over the internet. Dateline, I should have a little news thing. Dateline, Florida, Orlando. Joined by his, I'm not saying this is true, because I don't know. Joined by his father, George H.W. Bush, and his brother, George W. Bush, during Jeb Bush's latest fundraiser in Orlando this week, George Bush Sr. left the large crowd of Jeb Bush partisans uneasy after responding to a question on UFOs by an activist slash journalist, which the answer took the crowd and the reporters completely by surprise. In hopes of helping his son Jeb's struggling presidential campaign, George Bush Sr. and former President George W. Bush have been campaigning beside the presidential candidate in hopes of bringing the numbers up, right? During the fundraiser, a man in the crowd raised his hand and then a question, which led to an even more surprising response by the former president and CIA director. The man asked George Bush Sr. when the U.S. government would tell the American people the truth about UFOs, to which he reportedly responded, quote, Americans can't handle the truth. Okay, so it's not the first time that the senior has had a controversial moment about UFOs. Another occurred March 7th, 1988, during a trip to George W. Running for President rally in Rogers, Arkansas. The to-be president was then asked in the advent that he would become president if he would tell Americans the truth about the existence of UFOs, to which Bush said, "I'm very careful in public life about dealing with classified information." James Adler, journalist for the Arkansas Globe at the time, also asked about Bush's knowledge about the UFO phenomenon, behalf of which Bush answered, "I know some." Now, there's a tag to this story. After all, he is 91 years old. It is possible that he is suffering some cognitive dysfunction. So you have to imagine that possibility. You also have to imagine that he meant exactly what he said, if he really said it. Okay? He might have meant exactly what he said. It may be that his cognitive function is fine, and he just felt like, you know, hey, I'm 91. Hell with this, I'm going to say it. Or the whole thing might be a hoax. It's all over the internet. We looked and looked for anything that hit mainstream media, but you know, that doesn't always mean a story is not true. I give you, ladies and gentlemen, the Phoenix Lights. Remember? These monstrous things moved over the Phoenix, Arizona area. And what did we get in the mainstream press? Nothing. Nothing. So, you know, I don't rule it out. I don't rule it in. I just would note that a lot of times things hit us earlier than they hit the mainstream press, or maybe the mainstream press, you know, in an effort to be polite, decided not to include it. At this moment, this juncture, I don't know what's true. So I thought I would present it to you and let you decide for yourself. In other news, as they say, two more campus shootings, this time Arizona and Texas. Meanwhile, the president went to Oregon, where he wasn't really so welcome, frankly. A lot of protesters not happy about his gun control agenda, and so not happy to see the prez because of that. We are two countries, the East and the West. In the West, we have guns. It's just, you know, part of life. We have guns. In the East, they don't have guns, mostly. Not altogether. I mean, there is the South part of the East where they mainly do, I guess. But, you know, the Northeast liberal corridor does not have guns. Chicago doesn't have guns. Look how that's working out. Anyway, I will say what I've said again and again and again. We don't have a gun problem. We have a mental illness problem. Now, in other news, the Obama administration is overhauling its approach to fighting the Islamic State in Syria. They have now decided to abandon a somewhat failed Pentagon effort, I don't mean to laugh, to build a new ground force of moderate rebels and instead partnering with an established rebel group. Now, we have spent millions and millions of dollars to train somewhere between 4 and 8 moderate rebels to fight ISIS. And they're really, you know, interested in fighting Assad, right? So I guess today, after spending millions and millions of uncountable dollars, we had to send 4 guys home. I don't know what we're going to do now. So you guys go home. We're done with you. The GOP party is a party in chaos, desperately searching now for a leader. Desperately. John Boehner is gone, right? And I guess you know what the last couple of days have brought, with people turning it down right and left, latest being Paul Ryan. He said, no, thank you. The pressure on him, enormous to take the job. But he said, no thanks. Meanwhile, Trump's numbers keep going up. You know, I'm starting to wonder if we're going to have Trump, you know, if this guy is for real. A federal judge in Massachusetts has refused to dismiss a defamation lawsuit brought against comedian Bill Cosby by three women who say that he sexually abused them decades ago. So it's getting worse for Bill Cosby, if that's possible, every day. All right, so now on to some housekeeping things. I would like to welcome aboard KKFT Reno Lake Tahoe. That's right, KKFT Reno Lake Tahoe. And we have a lot of affiliates coming up in the hopper, but I won't tell you until they're signed, sealed, delivered, and on the air. A little bit later tonight, if I'm in a good mood, and I think I am, we may do some Periscope. Now, here is the deal with that. To do Periscope, which means you can actually see video from me, I can't imagine it being interesting watching the back of a talk host's head, but it's the only camera position I've got that's any good. In order to partake of Periscope, you've pretty much got to be on Twitter. And I'll give you my Twitter handle, so if you want to join now, you'll be notified, if you're on Twitter, that I am up on Periscope. It is ArtBell51. That's ArtBell51. That's me on Twitter. Okay. Let's see. I have a lot of housekeeping to do, so you'll have to excuse me. I want to thank the fans of my show for something pretty incredible, actually. We have a advertisement running in the industry standard magazine right now. That would be Talkers Magazine. And the headline reads, this is not me boasting, it's just me telling you what it reads, fans of Art Bell invest in Talkers ad campaign for their radio hero. That's pretty cool. It's a long story. I've posted it, I think, on Facebook. It's up at artbell.com. And it shows me in a pair of sunglasses. Actually, that's pretty cool. Anyway, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, those of you who contributed to that campaign, either with your talent or your money, thank you. Jasmunda down in Australia, thank you, buddy. Awesome stuff, really awesome. And I'm humbled, truly humbled. So, we're going to do open lines. What did I say about rule 3? To drink minimum, right? So you're welcome to call. Oh, there is a rumor that JC, you remember JC, right? That he's alive and kicking. I don't and cannot confirm that it is true. I can confirm that somebody matching his description is posting on Facebook, I have arisen, you know, that kind of thing. But until I actually hear his voice, he's dead to me. And by that I mean, after a while I concluded poor JC out there in the wilderness passed away. Now, maybe not. Maybe he lives. Maybe he has arisen. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it till I actually hear that grating voice in my ear. But I thought I would note, everybody's been emailing me, hey, he's alive, he's back, he's alive. All right, so open lines. Now, I would prefer paranormal, if you have paranormal, if you can bring that to the table. But anything goes, anything at all. We are going to set up, however, a special line suggested by a listener, and when I saw this last night, I called Heather, my producer, and I said, this has got to be it. It's called our scot-free line. Now, what a great name, a scot-free line. What I want you to do, and I know that all of us at one time or another have gotten away with something scot-free, right? Whatever it is. Now, I will make every attempt, even though sometimes I can see a city you might be calling from, I'm going to make every attempt tonight not to say the name of the city, even if I see it. So, if there is something in your life that you would like to unburden yourself about tonight, this would be an obvious chance. So, if you can think of something that you got away with scot-free, either now or when you were younger, the special number is area code, are you ready, 575-208-7787. And by the way, that number, when you call that number, just so you know, little humor here, that number rings through Roswell, New Mexico, and then comes to me. So the person who set up the numbers for me had an obvious sense of humor. Let me give that to you again. The scot-free number, if you want to unburden yourself about anything at all, the scot-free number is 1 and then area code 575-208-7787. And with that, we're going to break. And when we come back, with a two-drink minimum, maximum, with that in mind, please keep that in mind. Anything goes. Let's just have fun tonight.
I'm Richard Dolan. Please join us at the Greater New England UFO Conference on Friday and Saturday, October 16th and 17th at Leominster City Hall Auditorium in Leominster, Massachusetts. Other speakers include Mark D'Antonio, Ray Hernandez, Paul and Ben Eno, Jan Harzan, Roxy Zwicker, and more. Admission is $25 and $10 for children under 12. Check the website at www.newenglandufo.com.
I'm trying to make a funny ad, but my wife rolls her eyes and laughs. If you can't tell, this is Bob Crane. The internet sometimes has its buffering problems, but it has changed the radio industry forever. So I would like to spell radio backwards and call it OIDAR for Original Incredible Digital Audio Radio. That's where C-Crane comes in. If you have an unstable or weak Wi-Fi signal, C-Crane can make it strong. The Super USB Wi-Fi Antenna 3 can detect a Wi-Fi network hundreds of feet away and boost the signal to make your connection reliable. It plugs into your computer's USB port, it has easy-to-install software, and you have C-Crane support.
For details, search C-Crane Wi-Fi Overview. That's C-Crane Wi-Fi Overview. Also, check out our powerful repeater to create your own high-power hotspot for all electronic devices. Call C-Crane anytime at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or at ccrane.com. We're light years ahead.
Hi, Art Bell fans. This is the owner of American Green Roofing. I've been listening to Art Bell ever since I was a teenager. I was so happy to hear he was coming back to the air that I thought I'm going to be one of his first sponsors for the new show. So if you need a new roof, please give your business to a company that loves Art Bell as much as you do. Just visit AmericanGreenRoofing.com for a free estimate and use coupon code ARTBELL for $1,000 off your roof replacement. That's American Green, like the color, Roofing.com. AmericanGreenRoofing.com.
take a walk on the wild side of midnight. From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
That's the number, okay. And by the way, no video. People keep trying to send me video or receive video. This is a radio program, and aside from an occasional venture with Periscope, we're not doing that. So, no video, except for Periscope. I want to thank Alex, who sent me this just a few minutes ago on the wormhole. Alex, I love you, baby. It says, Art, I want to applaud you for being so vigilant about the audio of your show. You know, I listen to many different radio shows, and they rarely point out problems with their guests' audio. Anyway, it's very refreshing and very much appreciated. Well, thank you, Alex, my kind of guy. And so here comes my speech. Sorry, I know, even though it's requested by many and hated by droves, here it is. If you would like to call us on our national line, you know, it used to be toll-free. You had to have a toll-free line or people wouldn't call you, right? But now most of us have calling plans that allow free calls anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, whatever. So if you want to call, it's 1 and then area code 952-225-5278. And while it's possible to sound pretty good on a landline and sometimes a cell phone, I don't know. But anyway, that's the number, area code 952-225-5278. If you want authority, if you want to sound authoritative, the way you do it is with Skype. It will make you sound like you're right here in the studio with me. And you can actually do that on your phone. It'll work fine as long as you don't put it in speakerphone mode. That's horrible. But what you do, if you've got an iPhone or an Android, just get Skype. It's free. And then once you've got it, you don't go to the place where you dial a number. You go to the place where you add a contact. Now, once you become familiar with Skype, you'll see a little plus sign up there, and you click on that. And then you add us. Simple as that. You add us. To call us on Skype from North America, anywhere in America or Canada, it is MITD51. That's Midnight in the Desert, MITD51. Anywhere else in the world, you can still call us. It's MITD55. That's MITD55. Now, once you've done that, you will notice that in your list of contacts, it says, it probably says something like Midnight in the Desert Overseas or North America or something like that. That's us. And you can call us for free from anywhere in the world. What a world we live in, huh? So with that in mind, and a two-drink maximum in mind for calling, here we go. Don't forget about the scot-free line. If you got away with something scot-free, whatever it was, we want to hear about it. Area code 575-208-7787. And here we go. Here we go. Hi there on Skype. You're on the air. Hello on Skype. You're on the air. Corey. Your name is Corey. And if you don't speak in 3 seconds, I'm moving on. 1, 2, Corey. 3. Sorry, Corey. You lose. We're going to move on to Mike. I hate that. I mean, you pick somebody, you keep them on hold, you wait, and then you try to go to them. And I think I could hear his voice mumbling in the background, and I couldn't go to him. So Mike instead is the one who gets on. Mike, hi.
How you doing, Art?
I am just fine, buddy.
Yes, Wolfman calling back again from Guelph, Ontario.
Yes, well, you are a perfect example of how to sound good on Skype. What are you using?
Just an Android phone.
Boy.
It's a Motorola Moto G.
Pretty That's good it. For an Android, I'd say. All right, well, anyway, welcome.
Oh, anyways, I was going to mention I was trying to be a time traveler, and I was having trouble getting it with the PayPal to link up my card. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But I heard another caller say the same thing, so I'm not sure if it's something.
All right, so some people have trouble with PayPal. I don't know what it is, but usually it can be fixed by using a different email address.
Okay.
So I would try that. And if that doesn't work, I don't know what to tell you. There are instructions. If you go to artbell.com, there are instructions of what to do if you have a problem. You know, it's like one in a thousand. It does happen. I'm sorry. Being a time traveler is awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to use the wormhole. But anyways, let me tell you a story that happened at my farm, another one. This was out in the Port Burwell area. I told you before, I was a tobacco farmer.
That's right.
Anyways, I was irrigating late one night. It was probably around 3 in the morning, and I had to shut off my irrigation system.
Yes.
I was waiting. I had to wait another hour. My brother came out on his bicycle. He lived next to me. And we were just looking up at the stars, and all of a sudden we seen this thing like a red fireball. And it was moving in an erratic pattern, going here, there, moving. We started getting scared. It was coming towards us. And all of a sudden it stopped over, it looked like our neighbor's property, pretty close to us. And really, it looked like fire, a fireball, but moving around intelligently.
Okay.
It all of a sudden, like lightning, shot down this energy field, and it was like a outline, like a triangle going down at the earth, almost like a ray that goes wider as it comes down.
Yes.
And it was blue and like smoky blue, like you could see like a haze, almost like a tie dye effect. But it was like lightning, just zap. But no sound.
Well, I never know what to say to these things. Almost everybody has had a sighting of a UFO. Now, let me swap around a little bit here and ask you about this story that I read a little while ago about George H.W. Bush and what he might have said if this is a true story. He said stuff before, and now he said that we couldn't take the truth. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he said that. I believe that. I mean, they probably think that most people would be terrified if they told them all the truth.
Well, they might.
But I think
they might. I mean, even if what Dr. Jacobs says is true, to me, it's terrifying. I mean, if we're being taken over one person at a time, that's that's pretty terrifying, actually.
My mother talked about a recurring dream she had when she was pregnant for me, where a UFO lands in the backyard and they come out and go in her bedroom and stood over her bed and watched her while she's sleeping.
Okay, then there are questions both about your mother and you.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Well, we'll save that for another show. Huh. Yeah, serious questions. Come to think of it. Let's go to the special line, the scot-free line, and say hello there. You're on the air.
Hey, Art, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Welcome back. I'm glad you're back on the air. Back when I was young and stupid, me and my friends were going down to Mississippi, and we were carrying some contraband on us.
What kind of contraband, please?
It was marijuana.
Marijuana. Okay, so stoked with marijuana. You're traveling through Mississippi.
We were stoked with marijuana.
Not a bright idea.
It was not a bright idea at all. We were young and stupid, and we got pulled over by the police.
Yep.
And we got searched by a policeman with a big toolkit, and he took apart the entire car.
Oh, God.
He didn't find the marijuana, which happened to be behind one of the vents that you only had to take off.
You say he didn't find it?
No,
baby. You know, if he had had a dog with him, you would have been toast.
Oh, we would have been toast. I was praying he didn't bring a dog, but he brought a toolkit and he didn't find it.
Look how things have changed. Yeah, how much did you have? I'm curious. Like a lid?
About a lid. We had an ounce on us and we didn't.
I'm sorry, was it an ounce or more than an ounce?
Yeah. It was an ounce.
I'll tell you what. Thank you very much for the call. Scott Free is right. They'd had a dog, you'd have been put away forever. Absolutely forever. Mississippi, long ago, marijuana, not a good mix. Brother. Let's see. Where can I go? Let's go over here and say hello to Paul. Paul, you are on the program on Skype.
Well, I can't believe it.
Well, yeah, you can believe it. All right, turn off the... Extinguish your... yes, all right. I see. We have a break. So, Paul, you hold on. Extinguish your device, please. And we'll be back.
Dark Matter Network News. This is Amy Martin. Another school shooting has occurred in America today, this time at Northern Arizona University. During a fight between students within a fraternity chapter, the suspected gunman, 18-year-old freshman Stephen Jones, is alleged to have fatally shot one student and wounded three others. According to reports, two groups of students had a confrontation, which ended in the gunfire. This is the 47th school shooting to have happened in the United States this year. New evidence from a study on data collected from the Mars Curiosity rover suggests that Mars once might have had long-lasting rivers and lakes with warmer surface conditions, which could have allowed life to have evolved. The evidence collected from Gale Crater suggests that some of these bodies of water might have even lasted for millions of years. In the study, one author notes, "During the traverse of Gale, we noticed patterns in the geology where we saw evidence of ancient fast-moving streams with coarser gravel, as well as places where streams appear to have emptied out into bodies of standing water. The prediction was that we should start seeing water-deposited rocks closer to Mount Sharp. Now that we've arrived, we're seeing finely laminated mudstones in abundance. Could these account for some of the anomalies captured in rover images? What sort of life might still exist today?" Check this story out and more on NASA.gov. Bioengineers at the University of Illinois at Chicago have created a psychic robot of sorts which will predict and attempt to correct human actions. The team developed an algorithm for human motor coordination which makes a guess at a person's expected actions and adjusts for potential reactionary mistakes. One researcher describes, "Say you're reaching for a piece of paper and your hand is bumped mid-reach. Your eyes take time to adjust, your nerves take time to process what has happened. So when something unexpected happens, the signal going to your hand can't change for at least a tenth of a second, if it changes at all." Applied examples suggested by the researchers include artificially intelligent vehicles predicting possible highway accidents, or exoskeletons, which could help stroke patients guide and smoothly lift liquid-filled cups. Honeybees across North America are turning into zombies. A type of parasitic fly has infected honeybee hosts, forcing the bees to make uncharacteristic night flights of the living dead as they leave their hives and seek out bright light sources before dying. The parasite feeds off of a honeybee's muscle and neural tissues before destroying the brain. After a few weeks, the fly will emerge from the bee's body, splitting the head and thorax in the process. If you have witnessed strange bee behavior, notify Zombie Watch at zombeewatch.org. This has been Amy Martin with Dark Matter Network News.
Art Bell here. I'm the guy with a bad back. I mean a really, really bad back. And I've found a miracle that I want to share with you. Lumen Photon Therapy is extremely safe and very powerful. Lumen lights use infrared and visible red LEDs pulsed at tissue-specific settings. These turn on beneficial body chemistry and stimulate the regenerative capacity of cells, tissues, organs, and systems in your body. These lights have been well documented to penetrate the body to at least 8 inches. A typical session would be about 20 minutes. Lumen Photon Therapy is FDA approved and proudly made in the USA. No matter what it is, surgery, accidents, osteo and rheumatoid arthritis, accelerating the healing of sports injuries, you name it, it'll fix it, and much more. I want you to call Lumen. Trust me on this. 1-828-863-4834. That's 1-828-863-4834. Downside, not cheap. Upside, it really works.
Ever get that feeling you're being watched online? Well, you are. What can you do about it? The answer is simple. Secure and encrypt your internet connection. How are you going to do that? Again, the answer is simple. With ProXPN.com. ProXPN is easy to use and works on both PC and Mac. With ProXPN, you can torrent with complete anonymity and bypass regional blocks on sites such as Netflix. ProXPN also works with your iOS or Android device. And best of all, ProXPN has zero logging. Unlike other VPNs, ProXPN keeps no record of your online activity. And as a benefit to you, the listener, ProXPN is offering 50% off the life of your membership simply by using the coupon code BELL50 at checkout. So head on over to ProXPN.com and use the coupon code BELL50, that's B-E-L-L and the number 50, to enjoy 50% off the life of your membership and start securing your internet today.
Attention Dark Matter Radio listeners. Did you know that when you're on the road with limited data or Wi-Fi, you can still listen to every minute of the Dark Matter Radio Network by calling 605-562-4444. No smartphone, app, or internet is needed. Saves your data plan and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Dial 605-562-4444 to listen to the Dark Matter Radio Network on any phone, anytime, anywhere.
Bible Spells. Here for the first time in the inspired pages of Bible Spells, Reverend William Orabello unveils a concealed code hidden throughout the Holy Scriptures that can bring you an abundance of money, personal success, as well as love, good luck, healing, happiness, and protection of your home as well as loved ones. More important than the Bible code are Nostradamus' prophecies. This secret code was revealed to Reverend Orabello during an encounter with divine supernatural beings who changed his life forever. Now you can learn this unique system yourself to materialize all of your personal needs and influence others. Order William Orabello's Bible Spells from Amazon.com or get your copy, a free Bazaar Bazaar subscription, as well as a bonus companion DVD for $20 with free shipping and handling by calling 646-331-6777. 646-331-6777.
The team at HelloHoliday.com have been Art Bell fans for the past 19 years, and we come from an alternate dimension for people with a paranormal love of fashion. All waiting for you at HelloHoliday.com. Incredible value, unexpected design, proudly carrying sizes extra small through 4X in all the coolest indie styles. East of the Rockies? No need to stay up late. Shop online 24/7 at HelloHoliday.com.
Midnight in the Desert listeners get 10% off your first order with code ARTSPARTS. Shop HelloHoliday.com.
Exclusively on the Dark Matter Digital Network. This is Midnight in the Desert with your host, Art Bell. To call Art, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Or, if you have something that you got away scot-free with, call my scot-free line at area code 575-208-7787. And I want to reflect a little on the guy in Mississippi. It reminded me, actually, of an event in my own life. When I was 16, I ran away from home. Ran. And I hitchhiked to Florida, which is where my grandma was at the time. And I remember, of course, when you're hitchhiking, you know, you don't, number one, at 16, have much money, and I sure didn't. Number two, I made it all the way to Georgia. And I remember Georgia because, there was red clay everywhere. Boy, it grew on you. It's horrible. Anyway, I remember this cop pulled over. You know, that was in a day when you could hitchhike. And people actually picked you up, and they were nice to you. Anyway, this cop pulls over. It happens a lot when you hitchhike. And he said, "Well, what you doing out here at this time of night, boy?" "I'm trying to get Florida, sir, where my grandma is." "Well, you know, it's dangerous out here." He said, "I'll tell you what. You're not in any trouble. How about we take you in, put you in a cell with the door open, or not so much, maybe, because we got about 300 freedom riders in jail right now." I said, "Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate the offer of a good night's sleep, but I think maybe I'll pass." He said, "All right, you be careful out here," and took off. Oh, yes. Hello on Skype. You're on the air. James, I think it is.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
This is James. I don't mind if you say my city or anything like this. That's,
I can't see your city. You're just on Skype. It doesn't
count. Okay, okay. This is Scott Free called. That's why I called you. One of my contracts I had was working for a paymaster who was Austrian, and he was based out of Singapore.
Uh-huh.
But the job was working for the Chinese, a company called April Paper Manufacturing.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. You really should not be mentioning company names.
Okay, sorry about that. Anyway,
let's just say you were working for a company in Indonesia, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yes.
So what had happened was it was a trifold contract. It was training people, gathering intel, investigating a homicide and four arsons on an island called Plao Dong.
Wow.
Anyways, the picture you see of me, that's on that island. So what ended up happening was...
I do see it. When you're on Skype, you can have a picture, and I can see a picture of him. It looks like you're sitting, right?
Yeah, on a boat. Yeah, those on canals are used to transport the timber.
Very cool.
That gets transported.
Right.
So anyways, what ended up happening was... I did my investigation. I trained some people. All this stuff's strictly illegal. But I worked for a couple federal agencies, so, you know, I wasn't too worried. But it was the only time I've ever done a job with no support.
Well, and, let me tell you, if you get tagged in Indonesia for doing something really wrong, working for an agency or not, you're in trouble, man. You don't want to be in one of their jails.
No, I was freestyle. There was no agency. This was as an independent contractor.
Okay, so you'd have been cooked.
Yeah, I would have been done. But yeah, they still have people following everybody. They call them what do they call the? They called us it means boss. Bule.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so any bule they see a white guy, you just try to look the part, shorts, a short sleeve shirt, button up.
Yeah.
They really will follow you. I mean, it's not like Singapore where they have cameras everywhere.
Right.
Indonesia, they actually will put a physical person following.
Sure.
And so anyways, I did my investigation and got everything done, bottled it up, typed up. The funniest part was when I made it back to Singapore, I got done. They one of the agencies I worked for back in the US was Immigration and Customs.
Yeah.
Well, Singapore has the same kind of thing, and they caught me with more than 20 cigarettes. And nowhere else in the world I've traveled is more than two cartons a problem.
Yeah.
But I had
20 cigarettes. Why are they bothering you about 20 cigarettes?
Well, it was more than 20. I had 20 in a pack sealed.
Yeah.
And then I had like 8. In an opened pack.
Yeah, so what?
I had to pay 200 Indonesian or Singaporean dollars in a fine.
This is in Singapore. now.
Yeah, this is in Singapore coming back. Indonesia doesn't care.
Yeah, Singapore is really an uptight place. You know, you don't even want to spit on the sidewalk.
Exactly. But I'll tell you one thing about Indonesia is it was dicey the entire time.
Your big story here is that
I was doing was highly illegal.
So that is your scot-free story.
Oh, yeah. That was international scot-free.
And then you're busted for 20-something cigarettes.
Coming back to Indonesia to go back to where I live in America.
I got it. Yeah, all right, I got it. Thank you. That's a good one. You're dealing with homicides and stuff like that in Indonesia. You make it out and get busted for 20-something cigarettes in Singapore. Yikes. Ridiculous. Let's go to our scot-free line, and I think you're on the air. Hello.
Well, I hope I am on the air. That me, Art?
It is you, sir. You know that only.
Oh, fantastic.
For sure. But...
Well, Art, before I tell you my boring story of... I have to tell you...
Why would you want to call me with a boring story?
Well, compared to you, I mean, one of my favorite stories of yours, I mean, I never laughed so hard in my entire life, and I couldn't compete with that, was a story you told when you zapped yourself with a stun gun or something, with a cat sitting on you.
I don't remember that story. Honestly, I don't. We've had stun guns, but I don't think I've ever done myself in with one, honestly. Either that or I'm losing it.
Maybe the stun gun took care of the memory.
Maybe it did.
Anyway,
what's up?
Well, I'm calling you from one of your favorite places. I'm in Alaska, and I don't know if you ever will do shows from anywhere else, but...
I had such a blast in Alaska. I got to tell you, sir, I had as much fun as I've had in my life in Alaska. And the reason is the people down here in the lower 48 don't understand that in the wintertime in Alaska, there is little else to do but party, right?
That's correct.
And they go on nonstop. I'll leave it at that.
Art, if you ever kick up to Alaska again, you know the University of Alaska now has control of HAARP.
Yes, so I've heard.
I happen to work for a place called the Geophysical Institute, and we're the ones that are running HAARP now.
You are running HAARP? You know, I want to register a complaint with you.
Okay.
As an amateur radio operator... Most of us think you have really screwed up the ionosphere with what you're doing. Now it's in private hands, and God knows what you're going to do with it. What are you going to do with it? Do you care to explain?
Well, if I was in charge of it, I certainly would tell you. But I'm not the one in charge. I'm one of the worker bees.
What do you do?
I am a computer support guy. I'm an IT guy.
You're an IT guy. So, in other words, you could take it down anytime you want.
I was more thinking we could do a remote with you broadcasting from HAARP.
From HAARP? You know, not in this lifetime. I appreciate your call, but HAARP is not a funny thing to amateur operators. We think that they have screwed up the ionosphere. I'm quite serious about this. Now, I don't know that to be a fact. But I know pouring high energy to the ionosphere is probably a poor idea. Listen, you know what? They actually bragged that they were able to run outside. The scientists were able to run outside and look straight up and see that they were producing northern lights. I'm not kidding. Imagine that much energy that you produce northern lights. That's doing something to the ionosphere. I'm telling you right now. Outside the country we go, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello, Mark.
I'm at Zurich Airport.
Oh, really?
In Switzerland, and I'm getting on a plane again.
And where are you going this time?
I'm going to Birmingham, but if you remember the last trip I took with Lufthansa, I summoned the aliens, And there was a crack in the windshield.
That's right. You know, that's something right out of the Twilight Zone.
Well, I'm going to do it again. I'm just about to board a Swiss flight to Birmingham.
Yeah, I can actually hear.
40 minutes.
You know what? I can hear the airport stuff in the background, so I believe you. But I think it's not a wise thing to do. You cracked the windshield last time. God knows what you might do this time. I think it's irresponsible use of consciousness.
Yeah, but it's an experiment that we can all do together.
Why in God's name would you do it in the air?
Okay, well, you're closer to them. I was hoping, like, to see a craft or something. I didn't expect them to actually crack the windshield.
Yeah, but... I mean, what if you put a crack in the engine or something?
Uh-oh. So I mean, think I should not do it?
No,
is that your official position?
My official position is you should not do it.
Okay, I respect you immensely.
All I would need is to hear about a plane going down... I mean, one did over in your area not long ago. That's all I'd need, and I would feel horrible forever. No, don't do it.
Okay. Thank you, Art.
Have a good flight.
Thank you.
Yep, fly safe. The things people do. He really did. He used his conscious intent and created a crack in the windshield of the plane. The plane, I might add, that he was on. And he's at the Zurich airport. That's just not bright. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's not bright. Okay, on the let's go to the Scott Free line. Where?
In Philadelphia.
Okay.
Like I said, it's been long enough. I won't get in any trouble. It's Grizz on TuneIn Chat. I just want to say hi to everybody.
All right.
Back in the day.
I hear that place is. By the way, sir, I hear that place is a jungle.
Yeah, it is. when I was a teenager, I used to follow a Grateful Dead cover band.
Yes.
And we used to buy liquid LSD, and so my cousin was working in I don't know what you call it. He worked at a Catholic church.
Yes.
And he got the body of Christ, like the little wafery things.
Uh-huh.
He had a whole stack of them. And we would bring them into our high school, and we would drip the LSD on them and sell them for like $15 a piece.
That
make
is
a lot of money.
That's truly horrible. Horrible.
It was fun at the time.
Took communion wafers and put LSD on them.
Yeah, I was tripping on Jesus.
Oh God! are you telling the truth?
Yep, true story.
And how many of these wafers did you pass about?
We probably had like 15 or 20 of them.
And you gave these...
It was a novelty. Like, you know,
a novelty.
Like 10 bucks.
You know, you're lucky you're lucky that the laws on this have probably expired.
Yeah. So that's it, Art. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome, sir. Can you believe that? The worst thing that you can do to a person is give them an unwanted trip. It's dangerous. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. It's really dangerous. If you know you're going to do something like LSD, and you've thought about it beforehand, and you've prepared a proper atmosphere, even then, it's kind of dangerous. But putting them on wafers and or anything else without a person's knowledge and giving it to them is a very, very serious thing to have done. I don't know what to say about that. Anyway, Scott Free, he says. On Skype, we're going to go and talk to somebody named Maple, like the syrup.
Hello, Art.
Hello there.
How are you tonight?
I'm okay, considering LSD-laced wafers.
Ah, I see. I haven't been catching the show tonight. I'm actually in the car delivering. But I understand it's open lines?
It is.
Great. I'd like to tell you a pretty crazy story that happened to me a couple years ago.
Well, you're going to have to top the last one, but go ahead.
Okay. I live in Kingston, Ontario. It's a rather old Canada's first capital city here.
Right.
So it is a rather old city. And when I was 19, I think one of my very first apartments was part of an old house. And I invited my cousin and her friend over to just kind of hang out for the night, and we decided to play Ouija. Well, we didn't.
Technically, it is Ouija, by the way, not Ouija.
Yeah, Ouija. We didn't have a board, so we used a shot glass and some Post-it notes and made a circle kind of deal. And
a shot glass and Post-it notes?
Well, yeah, we were 19, so we had more shot glasses.
Yeah, I understand. Well, it's only the intent that matters anyway, so, yeah.
Exactly. Go ahead. Now, personally, I had never delved into the supernatural myself, so I didn't believe anything was going to happen. And my plan was to, you know, fool the girls and make them all scream and whatever. But what happened next was absolutely incredible. We talked to a ghost. We asked her, you know, what her name was, and she said it was Muriel. We asked her what year she was born, and she said it was 1881.
Wow.
And what year she died, and she said it was 1905. A couple other questions, nothing really spectacular. Then we asked it if it had any children, and it shot the shot glass right to goodbye. It didn't want to talk to us anymore, and I kind of pressed on further and asked her, you know, why don't you want to talk about children or whatever? And she just started spitting out gibberish, like nonsense, like a letter, then a number, then a letter, then a number, then a letter, etc.
Well, and maybe that's like cussing at you.
Exactly. And I didn't think anything of it. Well, Sierra, the other girl that was with us, my cousin's friend, she was writing it all down. So after we stopped, we were all a little freaked out. We stopped after and we went over the numbers and letters that it was saying. And at the end, it spelled out the word onion. And so we were like, oh, that's kind of weird. Hmm. Now, on your guest last night, I believe, he was talking about the deep web. Now, I guess instead of .com, those sites are called .onion. So I'd never been on the deep web before, but we decided to go on a Tor browser. And we typed in this gibberish that she gave us and then .onion. And it went to a child torture porn site.
My God.
No word of a lie.
You really are living on the edge, aren't you?
It was insane. It was the scariest ghost thing that has ever happened to me, and the only, so.
Well, that's quite enough, and yeah. And you better stay off the dark web.
Exactly, yeah. I don't ever want to go back there, that's for sure.
All right, well, I appreciate the story, and you better ride the straight and narrow from now on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No more Ouija for me, or Ouija.
Ouija. All right, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Yes, I'm quite aware the correct pronunciation is Ouija board. I will not have anything to do with them. And before you pick up the phone and or get ready to send me a wormhole message, I will not talk about my experience. And nothing is going to get me to it. It was that scary. And I don't think it's the board or any other trinket or anything that you would do. It's just the intent. When you pick up and start playing Ouija or anything else that tries, you know, if you sit in a circle and hold hands and try to summon a spirit, you're probably going to get what you don't want. And so you don't do these things. I mean, if you seek, you will find. And if you're found... it could well go in a direction that you don't really want it to go in. So my advice is, don't do it. Open lines all night long. This is Midnight in the Desert, and I'm Art Bell. Two drink max. Two drink max. Two drink max.
When you're in need of a good radio, why not get the best in reception and audio? If you couldn't tell by now, this is Bob from C. Crane. The CC Radio 2E is our very best AM and FM radio. With the 2E, you can hear your favorite station better. We found the most difficult part in building a radio is perfecting reception. The 2E brings stations in clear and can knock out interference from other sources. The sound from the 2E is impeccable. The audio can be adjusted for an accurate voice and also a rich musical performance. If the radio you're currently listening to has a hard time getting your station, or it's just time for a new one, I invite you to try the CC Radio 2E, which has the power and strength to bring the signal in better. We've been in the business for over 30 years because radio is wonderful.
To order the CC Radio 2E, call C Crane now at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit ccrane.com.
I'm Richard Dolan. Please join us at the Greater New England UFO Conference on Friday and Saturday, October 16th and 17th at Leominster City Hall Auditorium in Leominster, Massachusetts. Other speakers include Mark D'Antonio, Ray Hernandez, Paul and Ben Eno, Jan Harzan, Roxy Zwicker, and more. Admission is $25 and $10 for children under 12. Check the website at www.newenglandufo.com.
Hi, Art Bell fans. This is the owner of American Green Roofing. I've been listening to Art Bell ever since I was a teenager. I was so happy to hear he was coming back to the air that I thought I'm going to be one of his first sponsors for the new show. So if you need a new roof, please give your business to a company that loves Art Bell as much as you do. Just visit AmericanGreenRoofing.com for a free estimate and use coupon code ARTBELL for $1,000 off your roof replacement. That's American Green, like the color, Roofing.com. AmericanGreenRoofing.com.
Doesn't screen calls. We trust you, but remember, the NSA, well, you know. To call the show, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
That's it, all right. There are a number of ways you can do this. You can come in on Skype, if you like. We're MITD51 in North America, MITD55 in the rest of the world. And back to the lines. Oh, yes, we have a scot-free line. Now, that means if you want to level with us about something that happened in your life that you did that you got away from scot-free, then you're going to want to call area code 575-208-7787. That's area code 575-208-7787. Let us go to the scot-free line. You're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
Art, well, I'm not sure what I can say, so I'll be cautious here, but
okay.
I have two things. I'm not sure if I'm doing this right or not. I sent you an email about some new fusion discovery, but in the meantime, you opened up the...
If you're not calling about something you got away with scot-free, then you're on a wrong line.
Well, no. Here's what I want to tell you about. I go to Vegas, I gamble, and I encountered the third largest killer beehive in the history of Las Vegas, and I got away with just a few stings, and I think it was in excess of 35,000 bees in the hive. And I just thought I don't know if that gets away with scot-free or not, but it was a very, very unusual engagement, and I didn't know whether you wanted to hear that or not. So,
did you hit or kick this beehive or what?
No, there's a house. It was on Flamingo and Pecos.
Yes.
And some young boys had bought it and turned it into a permaculture. And they found me to be interesting, and I stayed there with them. I was working, doing some work in the back 2 acres.
Yes.
And I began to build bee activity. And when I went up closer to the house, we noticed they were up in the eave. It's a very tall house with a big pool, and huge place. And they asked me if I wouldn't try to move them out with some smoke, so I rigged up a can.
Normally a bee won't bother you unless you bother it.
Well, here's the point I want to make to you. I'll just try to wrap this up because it was a 2-week engagement, but you have to understand that I've never felt that I'd been assimilated by a creature who could hover in front of me and feel that. And then they set me up, and when I ran to my van, there was one waiting for me. And I was staggered by the degree of being felt as if I'd been assimilated by these bees. And I'd have to tell you each story, but for example, I was in a small hut, and I noticed one hovering in the doorway.
Well, maybe you were. Maybe you were assimilated. Have you thought about that?
Well, I don't mean by that. So what I'm suggesting to you is they were assimilating the data for the strategy, because come to find out, we looked into it, and the killer bees set up a 100-yard perimeter.
Well, it certainly is true. We have killer bees here now.
Well, yeah, this was 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But the fact I had no idea what I was messing with. And when you look at the dynamics of their capacity to kill by overwhelming numbers,
yeah,
and be
absolutely
right there, and then I was. But the point is that I sprayed something with this bee, and he stood there and hovered. I reached out with the can, tapped him. He fell to the ground, got up, flew off, and then it came back. And then I got in my van, and they tried to come in the window. And then
I think, sir? I think you've been assimilated. I mean, do you find, for example, when you get near a fragrant flower that you reach down with your nose and you smell it and sort of say, boy, that looks good?
Art, I'm trying this one. I can tell you this, that the bees, I have, now hold on a second. I have Okay, what happened was, several encounters were made, but they finally lashed out at me, stung me, and drove me to the van. I'm driving down the street. They hit me two times in the back of the neck. I'm trying to roll up the window. This was like a scouting party, like a beach landing special ops team.
Yes.
It was the whole hive.
Yeah.
But everywhere I go, Art, my car, when I drove back up, a hive of bees tried to get into my hood. And then it's as if they tag you in some way chemically.
Hmm.
But the overwhelming thing I want to move to your audience is this: to have a bee hover in front of you,
yes,
and you can almost sense that bee is assimilating data.
Huh.
I just can't stress enough, you do not underestimate the bees.
All right.
And I think what saved me is I was in the Mojave Desert in the 2001, whatever the computer's supposed to crash.
Right.
And I put out a jar of... Yeah, and I put out a jar. I was about 2,500 feet up.
All right, listen, sir, we're out of time for this call. All I can say is be safe. Huh? I think he was assimilated, personally. And, I mean, I can't know that absolutely, but it sounds a lot to me like he was assimilated. And you are on the air. Hello.
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
I am Ari from Minden, Nevada, and I think my house is really haunted today. I don't know why. I just feel like I listen to EVPs, and it's just really creepy. It's just creeping me out around Orchard Road, around everywhere.
Well, don't tell us exactly where you are, but you listen to EVPs?
Yes, I do.
Well, there's your problem. Now, of course, I play them on my program, but I always warn people. You know, that you could be, well, that number one, it's going to be scary, I warn people. And number two, frankly, if you start listening to the voices of those who have passed on, who knows what you're inviting? Like the Ouija board, right?
Yeah, of course.
So you really think your house is haunted, eh?
Yes, because it all started with, like, sometimes I do my homework in my room, and I always hear, like, these strange noises, and it's always just in my room. It's not in my head, because I ran out of my room. I was, like, almost screaming, but I wasn't. And then I couldn't hear anymore, and then I went back, and then I kept on hearing this clicking noise. It was terrible.
How old are you?
8.
You're 8 years old?
Yes.
Same age as my daughter.
Yeah.
I try to tell people on this program, we have people that listen and call from 8 to 80, and you just helped me prove it.
Yes. I love your show.
That's very kind, hon. Thank you very much for calling. And good luck with whatever's in your house. Don't let it get you.
Oh, yeah. Is JC calling?
I don't know. JC, I am not going to believe until I see, or until I hear in this case. I'm getting all these messages that JC is, well, has arisen, let's put it that way, has come back from the forest with some kind of revelation. But until I actually hear his voice, it's just so much chatter on Facebook.
So he hasn't been, like, on Facebook a lot?
Well, no. He recently has come back and is posting as JC. Now, whether that's really him or not, no idea. The only way we're going to know is when I pick up a line and, well, you know what he sounds like.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. 8 years of age, I told you, 8 to 80 and probably beyond. It's just the nature of this program. Hello there. You're on the air. Hello? Going once. Going twice. Too bad. Sorry for you. Gone. Hello there. You're on the air.
Good evening, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Good. Hey, I just want to say you do such a great job with all the guests you have on the show. Oh, my goodness.
Well, thank you. Fridays, I just lay back and have fun.
Sounds like a great job. Hey, you know, years ago, my dad got stuck out at my Ash Meadows, you know. He was getting a load of hay back in the 70s, you know.
Yes.
And he'd come up here. He doesn't really get up and around that excited, you know. But he said, hey, you're the first guy that called, and he described this UFO thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, that's the same thing I saw out there, you know. And this was years and years ago, you know. And anyways, that's the story. But
so he saw a UFO.
Yeah, yeah. And then later on in the late 90s, I heard your show for the first time, and it was the Star Child skull.
Yes. Well, all right. I'm going to ask you then. Everybody who talks about UFOs tonight is going to get asked about George H.W. Bush and what he may have said.
Oh, okay.
Hey, he said that human beings could not take the truth about aliens if we knew about it. Could you take the truth?
Well, that's just it. I kind of did a little bit of follow-up on that Star Child thing, and it's we'll put it this way, it's quite literally out of this world. Yeah,
could you take the truth?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. You know, if you read between the lines, what he really doesn't say this up. This guy that owned that Star Child skull, you know, I listened to some of his lectures. And
I don't care about him. I'm talking about you. If they were to tell you the truth about UFOs and aliens, could you take it or would you crumble?
Oh, no. No, no. I came to my own conclusion, and I'm pretty sure it would be kind of shocking to most people.
And your conclusion is?
Well, that we were like we'll put it this way, like there actually was an Adam and Eve, but it was like created from these creatures that was roaming around here, you know, the Neanderthals or whatever. I'm saying I don't think we came from them. I don't.
You don't, huh?
No, I think it was maybe these aliens used a piece of their genes or something to do what they did to come with us, but I think there was.
All right. What about this idea that we are being slowly invaded by half humans and half aliens?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is they're coming back to collect. Maybe their only reason for making us in the first place, you know, is that we would procreate and then we'd get real smart and we'd do things. And there's all these natural resources like steel and copper and stuff that was exploitable, and now we've exploited it all, and now it's all laying on the surface. And, you know, imagine people wanting to make spearheads back in the Stone Age or whatever. They can find that stuff on the surface. Now try it.
Well,
if everybody went to the Stone Age, we'd never be able to find nothing. But anyways, these aliens could come down and just collect now that it's all made. It's all this steel is all on the surface.
So in other words, if they didn't have to encounter us poor human beings, they could just collect all the scrap and they would have all this, everything, right? So yeah, maybe. Maybe. Victor, hello there. On Skype.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I do.
Oh, great. First of all, I want to say thanks for accepting my call.
You're welcome.
Actually, I wanted to tell you an interesting story that happened to me a couple of years ago with me and my cousins.
Okay.
Well, we were hanging out in the garage. And
I do that a lot, just hang out in the garage.
Yeah, we were just drinking some beer, you know, hanging out. And my cousins had, like, a 90s, like, caravan. And it turned on, like, all of a sudden. And we went outside and went to go check it out. And
it turned on all by itself, like Christine.
Yeah, and they don't have an automatic starter or anything.
Okay.
And we heard it turn on, so we went outside.
And?
And we looked in the sky, and we noticed some sort of glowing light or, like, orb. And
like a giant glowing key fob?
It was more like a light beam. and it kind of like... I know, it's like every UFO story you hear. It's... It kind of just disappeared, you know what I mean?
Yes, they generally do.
And we have, until this day, we still don't know how the van turned on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, like I said, a giant glowing key fob, that's all he can figure. Who knows? Interesting story. And if you're still there, you heard the story about George H.W., right? Is that a yes or no?
Not the entire story, but...
Oh, well, he said that... Okay, well, he said, or is reported to have said, that if human beings knew the truth about aliens or UFOs, actually UFOs, that we couldn't take it.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. That we'd all break down and go berserk. He didn't actually say that. But that was the, you know, I guess the idea. Anyway, I don't even know if the story is true. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. Let's go to our scot-free line and say you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, on air.
You're on air, yes.
All right, Art. Just want to say a great show. Started listening to you about 5 years ago. I just wanted to tell a little bit of story that I had. Hopefully what I am hoping for is someone else seen it. So let's go back. This is about 2012 in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, this is going to be another UFO story, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, absolutely. So what did you see?
Okay, well, for some reason during this summer, I was very interested in stargazing out of the blue. So I bought myself a telescope and started looking at the sky. I was with... Actually, I was by myself, and my two roommates were, oh, there he is again. He's looking up. Don't break your neck.
Yeah, you know, you are on my scot-free line now. Does this end up being a scot-free story? No, huh?
It does not, but...
All right, thank you. Sorry. Cruel, mean me. That's only for scot-free stuff. You know, if you have a UFO story to call, I'm happy to hear from you. Just call one of the normal lines. Do not call my special line. That line is reserved for people who got away with something scot-free. And if I don't observe the rules, then others will break them again and again and again and again. I'm not going to say where you are, but you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, I'm from Oklahoma.
Okay, well, you said it yourself. Howdy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Howdy. Yeah, I just had a quick question about Single 7 from 1998.
What about him?
Yeah, have you ever heard back from him?
Nope.
You have not? We thought that was one of the most interesting conversations ever.
Well, with a lot of interesting things, sir, and particularly time travelers, many times you don't hear back from them because they have, well... gone to another time.
Right. So one of my questions, I guess, is there anything about that conversation? Were there any discrepancies that you heard as you look back or listen back to that about that conversation with him?
None that I know of. How about you?
None that I know of. One of the interesting things that we found is that the Ark of the Covenant, he mentioned that may be found in Ethiopia in, I think, 2037.
Yeah, he may be right about that. A lot of people think it's Ethiopia where it's held.
Yeah, they mentioned it on CNN just recently, so
then
I was just curious.
Must be true, then.
I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. So was that one of the most interesting interviews you've ever had?
Oh, gosh, how could I pick? I you know, people ask me that all the time. The most interesting interview, the most interesting topic. Oh my God, I've done so many. I have done thousands upon thousands upon thousands of interviews. And so to pick one out would be impossible. Yes, I guess it could be said it was one of the more interesting. It certainly stood out in your mind, right? And on Skype, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Connor in Oklahoma.
Hey, Connor.
Hey, well, I gave you a call before about a demon story I had.
Yes.
How it would talk to me and kind of torment me and stuff. I kind of wanted to give you a call back. I was a bit nervous and I didn't really tell you everything. I think you'd be interested to hear this other part about it.
Okay, I'm interested. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I told you before it would talk to me in the night as a small child, and it would mess with me and make me upset, and it would really take joy in doing that. Mm-hmm. But the reason I called it a demon when I told you is because I did actually see it.
Okay.
Well,
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I clicked on somebody. My screen was getting very crowded with Skypes, and I clicked on somebody and I should not have. And when I did that, it cut you off. So bring your demon back when you're able to. Outside the country, you're on the air. Hi.
G'day, Art. Is it me?
It is you.
Okay, I just want to relate a theory that I thought about missing time abduction cases.
Yes.
This theory came to me when I was listening to your show with Travis Walton. And one of the things he said was that before the case with the UFO happened, they were cutting timber down and he was nearly hit by a tree.
Mm.
And what came to me was that perhaps he was in another reality. Maybe he was hit by a tree. And they took him to the hospital, and he was, you know, he maybe died on the operating table. And then his spirit sort of gone into this other reality where it's kind of rewritten time and rewound it back to before the accident occurred, and then sort of concocted this timeline where he's abducted by a UFO and he appears 5 days later. One of the things that sort of made me think of that was that after he said he came back, he was never sick at work after that. And I wanted to ring up and ask him a few questions at the time, but I'd only just come across the idea. But I wanted to ask him things like, you know, was there things like scars on his body that were missing? Because what would have had to have happened would be that when he went into this other sort of a timeline, his body would have had to have been repaired. And it may have been repaired purely on the memory of what his body was.
I see.
Of his own idea of what his body was.
Well, if you can get repaired in that way, then I'd like to be picked up. Otherwise, leave me alone.
Yeah, I thought it still could be true with people with missing time, because a lot of them are in dangerous situations when they see UFOs. Like, for instance, people see them when they're driving. People may be sleeping with sleep apnea.
Boy, you know, you just brought up a good point. Think how dangerous that is for a UFO to be toying about in the sky, and you know darn well people driving are going to do what? They're going to look up. How dangerous is that?
No, I mean, the UFO is a fabrication. It's, I think it's they possibly had an accident and died, and the whole sighting of the UFO is something to cover that fact, so that because it may be too difficult for people to remember the fact that they died and would interfere with their timeline now.
Yeah, it's always hard remembering when you die. There is that.
Anyway. Yeah.
What do you think about this H.W. Bush story? True or false?
Whether he said it or not, no idea.
All right. Well, then you're with me.
And it's very ambiguous what he said. What he supposedly said anyway.
It's not ambiguous at all. The American people couldn't take it. What's ambiguous
isn't
about
that? Isn't that just a line from some movie or anyway?
Like, no. Oh, no, sir. No, 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 no. That's from the Brookings Report. A great study was done on this by the Brookings Institution. And the Brookings Institution found that the American people could not take it, that institutions would collapse, that terrible things would happen. Now, I'm not saying George Bush said this, but, you know, what I am saying is that, number one, if he said it, it seems like it could be real because of Brookings. Number two, he's made other comments. And number three, he was head of the CIA. And number four, he was president. That is four, right? He was president. So he would know. If anybody would know, HW would know. Now, maybe he didn't say it, maybe this is an internet rumor, but I have my suspicions it may be true. And if it is, then it may eventually hit the mainstream media. And again, I call to your attention Roswell. No, well, yes, Roswell, and then Phoenix, where the lights appeared, the craft appeared, we screamed and yelled about it on the air here. And then 2 months later, when they darn well got ready to talk about it, they talked about it, and it was like somebody threw a switch. And it was on every major network, every major wire service carried it. 2 months later, on my Scott Free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hey, Art.
Hey.
Yes, I got a pretty good one for you, actually. Well, it is to me. It was at the time. I'm in my 50s now. Back when I was like, 21, 22.
Yes.
I was out rolling around in Portland in my Monte Carlo with three guys that I'd just kind of piled into the car with. Marijuana wasn't really very legal back then. And neither was hash oil or anything like that.
They're not exactly fully legal now either.
No, no, they're not. No, I've been quit for like 13 years, but I did smoke it for most of my life. But I don't really feel the need for it. But anyhow, back then, these guys were just rolling around. Now, I had a few plants at home.
Yes.
And I learned how to isomerize and make hash oil. And I had a little bit of it in a bottle cure, a bottle cap.
Yes.
And a little bag in my pocket, and we were sitting in this neighborhood smoking this stuff.
Yes.
And like cops do, this one came out of nowhere, and he was just at my door. And I go, oh, well, this ain't good, you know? So, I rolled down my window, and yes, officer, he says, you boys out here getting in trouble. One of the neighbors called in and said they saw you smoking marijuana, and you really shouldn't be doing that around here. And I go, yeah, well, sorry, you're probably right. Well, do you have any on you? And I had it right there in my lap. So, so I handed it to him. The hash oil was in that bottle cap.
Hash oil?
But no, a bag of pot on my lap. It was probably a quarter ounce.
All right. Well, okay, that's good. All right.
The hash oil is in a bottle cap on the lid to the glove box, which was open.
Gotcha.
And I was starting to sweat, and he says, "Well, don't you step out the car?" So I did, and he has me dump it out on the ground. And then has me crushing into the pavement there with my shoe, you know?
Good sign, actually. Yes,
and he says, well, do you have anything else? Well, I got a pipe, and I handed him that. And I didn't know if the other guys had anything or not. And he says, do you mind if I look around? And I says, well, no, not really. Yeah, I didn't know nothing back then.
At this point, your stomach is sinking, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm just waiting for the irons to get clapped on and stuff. But
I understand.
He digs through the car. He asks the other fellas there, do you guys have it? No, no, just what he had there. He was just sharing. And he digs through the car. He doesn't get the other guys out. And he reaches in, and he's rooting around in my glove box. And he gets back out and He's talking to me there, and he hands me back my license.
Yes.
And he says, all right, well, you're good to go. And that's with the time I see that bottle cap of hash oil stuck on his cufflink.
Oh, God. Really?
I'm not kidding you.
Oh, man. So all right, I'll bite. What next? What happened?
Huh?
What happened?
He drove off. I drove off. He drove off. I dropped the other guys home, and I went home to my wife.
Yeah, and probably said a few Hail Marys. So he...
Yeah, I said some thank yous. That's for darn sure.
Oh, my God. I wonder when he finally discovered it and what he thought when he did.
Oh, I have no idea, but I'll bet he was really ticked because that stuff probably got all over his uniform.
Oh, man. You,
it wasn't the real high-grade clear stuff. It was Atari, Nancy.
Story of the night so far, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks, Art.
Thank you for the call. Scot-free. Imagine him walking away with that on it, stuck to him. That one's good, all right. That's going to be a good night. Someone said I got knocked off.